In the studio with me this morning, I have Margaret Crozier, formerly as the leader of the Values Party and latterly as the director of Greenpeace here in Auckland. Margaret has been continuously active in the environmental movement since 1975, which exemplifies her dedication to what is now becoming the issue of the century. Margaret, remind us what we need to do.
Okay, thanks for the invitation to be here. It is hard to work in February because this is when we hope to have our summer. Let's hope we get it. I think that the big challenge for our generation, and we are going to have to see that change in our lifetime, is really to get on a different development path. And I think there's been a lot more talk now, just looking back over the last couple of decades. There's a lot more recognition how important the environment is, and if we ignore what we're doing, it's going to affect our health and quality of life and ability to create a livelihood for ourselves. And I think that awareness has actually hit people much more strongly, perhaps even the tsunami from Boxing Day. It was a bit of a reminder that we take a lot of things for granted, and we shouldn't be complacent, and we should think really hard about what impact human activity is happening. I did want to talk about climate change and global warming because it's probably the single biggest threat to the planet, and it's not something that is going to take one person or even one country making changes. It's something that we actually need a lot of people to start understanding and changing the way they do things.
Yes, I'm fully aware. It's like sustainability now on the triple bottom line. And I realise there that there's a lot of small businesses coming on board to realise that society, the environment, and of course the profit-making facet of a business have to be all in one. And I think there that this is a start. However, we need to have encouragement. The government needs to encourage everybody, to all businesses, to be part of that.
Yes, I think there's a role for everyone. I think that industry is going to be judged on whether it's wasteful, harmful, or adding to problems like global warming. I think we need governments to become much more active in protecting our future, and not just reacting to short-term interest groups, but actually laying out a longer-term strategy. And I would say the crucial strategy is in energy use, that we actually do need to feel that government is going to pick up that issue in our interest and look into the long term. Yes, we have got enough governments to agree to bring Kyoto into being, but events are moving very fast, and I think some of the weather events that you were mentioning earlier are increasing concern. I think that world opinion really understands that global warming is we're seeing something that's because of human activity, and there's going to be a human price to pay, and we need to start working out the changes now, because whatever we do, it's going to take us 40 or 50 years to get the impact from those changes. And in New Zealand's situation, now we're a very interesting country, that's why I love New Zealand, because we've often taken the lead and we've often spoken out on issues ahead of other opinion. Becoming nuclear free and saying that to the world was a fantastic thing, and we still get a lot of credit for that all around the globe, in countries that are stuck with stockpiles of nuclear weapons and, you know, a foreign policy strategy that looks incredibly dangerous, really admire New Zealand and see us as being some point of hope. But we now need to go further than that, and we should be the first country to really say that we're going to find our energy from renewable resources. We're going to stop the burning of fossil fuels. We do have a fantastic opportunity with wind in this country. We, as Greenpeace, we did a report recently, and one of the conclusions was that we're really the Saudi Arabia of wind. that we have such good wind resource, so many good sites around the country with a very reliable supply of wind, and we need to get onto it and integrate that into the electricity grid and delivery of electricity to business and houses. So that's one area that we will be looking to government to pick up more, to give more direction, to give this a real push. We can see some change from industry. It's great what Meridian is doing and recognising that they need to invest in wind and they need to think about other impacts from what they do, not just the supply of electricity, but think a lot harder about the consequences of the kind of choices that they're going to drive. We would be concerned about bringing back coal-fired power stations, for example.
Very much, yes.
Wrong direction.
I agree.
Don't need to go there.
No.
Let's learn from the past and move on to more modern solutions to our problems. In delivery of electricity, we need to be thinking about efficiency. We need to be thinking about solar. Wind, as I've mentioned, we need to think about smaller regional systems, insulation. There's still a lot more that can be done in terms of people's electric cylinders, the hot water cylinders. We still don't have insulation of those as a routine thing. There's a lot we can do in our building codes. Yep, certainly.
Yes.
A lot more can be done.
Yes, well, I know that Mr. Cullen is looking at a taxation rate, dropping the taxation rate from business from, I think, 33% to 30%. Well, what he should do is say, right, anybody who wants to get involved in energy reduction or find different ways, we'll give you that 3%, or we'll even give you a greater percentage if you come on board and show there that you've complied with laid down criteria to be able to save energy.
Yes, it's not fashionable now to talk about subsidies, but there's no doubt that the big fossil fuel industries have all benefited from subsidies in the past. And that means it's very difficult to get a kind of level playing field.
Yes.
And on the international scale, certainly in Europe, it's a really important issue to stop the amount of subsidies for the existing power stations and for nuclear, I have to say, which is another one of those solutions which are being proposed by some people, but it's truly a dead end because we would be adding to our problems of managing nuclear waste that we can't do adequately now.
Mm-hmm.
Whole lots of hazards and risks with the nuclear facilities that we already have and hugely expensive. So I just want to throw that in and say, dead end.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand certainly doesn't need to. So let's stick to our ground on that one.
Yes, well, Bob Mann mentioned the other day that New Zealand's windmill technology was the best in the world. And it was so good there that he said that when the Danes actually come on board and produce it under licence from New Zealand, we'll also be able to get exports as, from a result of our intelligent ideas.
That's what we want to see, isn't
it?
We want to see smart thinking and then take it to the world. And we will find some niches. I mean, there are some opportunities in this, and the changes that need to happen, for sure.
Yes. It was interesting because I 3 weeks ago or some time ago, they had the United Nations Convention on Climate Change in Argentina. And, of course, I looked at news on TV1 and TV3 all those nights, and regrettably, even though there were 6,000 delegates discussing how we can apply Kyoto now that Russia had come on board, there was still no news. Now, Pete Hodgson was there, and of course he would have been disappointed to feel there that amongst all the delegates there, we weren't able to get news to underpin what he was actually trying to do.
This is the role for people in countries around the world, to actually start asking the right questions of their politicians and try and hold them accountable to some of their longer-term decisions.
Yes, well, I got on the phone to so many people down in Wellington to see if I could find somebody who could actually be a spokesperson. And I've managed to get through to Pete Hodgson's press secretary, but I haven't been able to get anything as yet. So I would trust that in the next program or two, I'll have them on the radio saying, okay, this is what we discussed, these are the ideas that we put forward, and this is where we are at present. Bearing in mind, of course, that Peter Blake, just prior to his death, put forward the concept there that the world community even go as far as buying the Amazon jungle, which is a slightly divergent statement in our present context, but to get involved in the fact there that the world community has to now take a stand solely because our servants who act on our behalf in Parliament need to be made accountable.
Well, that's an important thing to discuss, because the Amazon is such a huge source of biodiversity, and if it's cut down and burnt, it is going to have an impact on climate change and increasing the temperature of the planet. So it is in the interests of all of us to see a different answer in the Amazon. And I have to say, Greenpeace is working actively there. We've been working alongside the indigenous people, the Dene Indians, so that they can protect their rights to large areas of land, an area the size of Belgium, which they want to be able to use that forest sustainably. So there's no question of clear felling. Mm-hmm. But their livelihoods depend on it, and they need to find an answer that is more sustainable. Now, the world should be just so pleased at that solution. And what needs to happen is you need to stop the subsidies from the World Bank to the developments which do the really harmful and wasteful practices. Mm. Could I just come in closer to home, because we're facing this in the Pacific, the last tracts of great rainforests in Papua New Guinea, under the same kind of threat that some industries are just signing up contracts with local people and will destroy those forests, the best of them, within 3 to 10 years. That's not my figure. That's actually an assessment of the World Bank themselves. They can see the problem. And that is going to be devastating for the local people, for their landscape, trashing their waterways, destroying their ability to grow food to provide for themselves in future. That is it's an area where, again, Greenpeace, we're trying to be there, we're trying to work with local people, and we're taking whatever action we think is needed to be able to get people to understand and to get the changes. We've also been promoting a solution of sustainable timber and working with communities in the Solomons, so that we're able to help local people work out how to treat their trees in a way where they can cut and sell some without destroying the ability for them to be growing and protected into the future, and they can market them. So if you're buying timber, look for Eco Timber Label or ask questions about where that timber comes from. And I would say, if you want more information, check out our website, www.greenpeace.org.nz. And we do have links there to other useful information for people as well. Again, we're trying to empower people wherever they are to ask the right questions of their institutions, their businesses, and government.
And so I've got Margaret Crozier, Director of Greenpeace, here with me, and we're discussing some of the ways in which we can bring people on board to get change, be it in the community or be it in other cultures. We want to find ways to empower people to realise that we can actually make a difference. And so, Margaret...
We were starting to talk about, does Greenpeace work with industry? So I just want to make it clear that we have had a lot of dialogue at different times with different businesses, but Greenpeace is independent, and we don't take funds from the government or from business, so that we don't get caught in running someone else's agenda. So we really do try to tell it like it is, and we work only with the support of people. So it's really important that so many New Zealanders do support us, because there are things you can do as one person, but there's a lot more you can do as 30,000 people.
I agree.
So let me just tell you some of the important areas in terms of technology where I think Greenpeace has worked in a way that people maybe don't see so often. I mean, we're pretty famous for putting inflatables in front of the whaling ships and trying to stop the harpooning of whales. And I have to say that in the 70s, 30,000 whales would have been being killed a year. And this kind of confrontation and action and that slow building up of world opinion against the continuation of whaling has been very successful. We haven't totally won that campaign. The Japanese have counter-arguments why they should be allowed to continue whaling, but we keep fighting those arguments. And with great support from the New Zealand government, I have to say, as well, in those international forums. So New Zealand's also well known for that. But some of the other areas that aren't, we don't see so much of, Greenpeace has worked to show that different technology is possible in terms of cars, so that they're less energy-guzzling cars, and in refrigeration, so that they're not the kind of technology that releases CFCs and is very damaging to generates ozone layer. And New Zealanders have had that on their radar in the past, because there's such a huge area of ozone over our part of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have one of, I think, the highest skin cancer rate in the world? Well, that's part of the problem. But Greenpeace has got governments to agree about the phasing out of CFCs, particularly in industrial use. And just recently, see, some of these things take years, you know. You want the solution next week, and then you look around and find you've been working on this for 15 years.
And other countries are lagging behind. I mean, China now is still producing some gases there, I hear, that we're phased out.
Let's come back to China in a minute. I'm just going to tell you that just a couple of months back, we actually got agreement from three of the biggest industries which are using these dangerous gases in their production: McDonald's, Coca-Cola and Unilever. And they've agreed to phase them out and committed to timelines to do that. So that was big news in Europe, and New Zealanders will benefit with fewer skin cancers from that. Let's come back to China. Greenpeace has actually opened an office in China because we're very aware that it's going to have a huge impact on the world and our future. And they're actually asking for help in what kind of development they pursue. We've hosted visitors here at the New Zealand office, government officials who are saying, you know, what are the solutions? They're very uncomfortably aware that they're going down some tracks which will create huge problems for them. For example, they've been gearing up on energy use. They've got a huge commitment on coal-fired power stations. But they also know now that the ash from the coal and the emissions is interfering with food production. And they're not a country that can afford to have a slackening off of food production. So it's a complex world, and we've all got different kinds of problems and trade-offs that we have to get into. But what the Chinese visitors were really saying was, please tell us how we can influence common sense people. Now, that's a great message. If we're asking that question, then I think there's light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right. Well, what I feel is the challenge is that when you get away from Beijing, where the halls of power are, you such a vast country, so many people, that to get these laws passed. When I was there recently, I saw plastic bags in there, thousands in some of the waterways. And I wrote to them and I said, look, you've been around here you've had 5,000 years of history. And you know that this is not good for you. You've got all these plastic bags lying in the waterways, and you're just getting over SARS. If you let these bags fester there, this could produce all sorts of viruses. Now, could you not, follow through like Singapore? They put laws in place and they followed them up very harshly. Now, China has no qualms about taking the law to the extremes there, particularly their criminals. Now, I don't say there that you have to be as harsh with polluters, but for some unknown reason, where I was at a school, they were burning tyres five doors down in the middle of the city, and the black smoke was going everywhere. And, of course, in Auckland, you'd have had a fire brigade there saying, where's your licence or permit? I feel there that still, that with the vastness of their country, they have to have some strong resolve to say, this is it, this is the day, it's the cut-off point. Any time afterwards, we're going to use you as an example and be really tough.
Well, it's really important that ordinary people themselves have the chance to kind of understand what the impacts of these things will be. I mean, China is suffering from encroaching desert in the north, which is really wiping out whole cities and the ability of land to produce. They've got hugely contaminated groundwater. They're going to have the health impacts of that. And I think we should just be wanting to kind of encourage the process of increasing that understanding and people almost going back to their institutions and saying, yes, act to protect our common interest. Greenpeace did organise a really good seminar on the power of wind recently, and that was part of us trying to get the information there to people who can make use of it. And you're right, I mean, the Chinese government is able to require changes and to mobilise people, and perhaps like neither government, so good luck to them.
Well, I look, they had 42 billion trees have been growing since 1988. Admittedly, from what I gather, a small percentage have been GE trees, but essentially, when they mobilise, they mobilise. And so I do have this hope that China will come to the party. And, of course, then there's India as well, who want their day in the sun. And I just feel there that we just have to get more motivated. Our kids are going to be dependent on us because, as I've mentioned to you before, we baby boomers, we've had our day in the sun, we've had our cake and eat it too, and I definitely want to be able to leave something so that kids can look forward to dying of an old age of 97 or something like that.
And they've been to the beach and they've walked in the bush and they know their food is healthy.
That's right.
And that other people living around them are also enjoying a quality of life.
Yes, yes.
It's so not too much to ask, is it?
Well, that's right. That's right, because I know darn well if you sit down any person in business, any major businessman, particularly in New Zealand, and have their grandchildren sitting on their knee and say, well, look, what do you want for these kids? And they will say, exactly what I had. Mm. And so I feel this is the issue here. It's like when Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev got together way back in the early 80s, or sorry, 86, 87, there, I mean, all they needed to do really was to bring their kiddies and put them on their knee too and say, well, look, this is the future generation. We have to allow these little fellows have their say. Unfortunately, the wisdom of Gorbachev was able to bring about that, which I want to just mention there. You've got green and peace, and of course, at the moment, when you look at the Greenpeace site, you see all the challenges there. And, of course, you've also mentioned there that war is another one that we have to deal with. And I know that Greenpeace, as a peaceful group, have focused a lot of attention on all the environmental ones. But, of course, we've got this challenge of war too. Did you wish to just quickly...
Well, I mean, Greenpeace really started with people's outrage about the testing of nuclear weapons. Mm. So a really crucial part of the government's building, stockpiling and being prepared for war. We have continued with a nuclear disarmament campaign. It is not so top of the mind in New Zealand, but we have been looking at how can we most effectively contribute in this area. And it's become much more difficult, of course, since the war in Iraq and the policy of the United States. But we have to get governments back around the table. We have to get the commitments operative again about dismantling nuclear weapons and downscaling weapons and beef up the resolution of conflicts over resources. What are we pointing towards? We're pointing towards let's deal with some of the real security issues. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, the ability of us to produce food and feed people and underpin some decent prospect of human life, that is enough of a challenge. Even the Pentagon has produced a report recently saying that the greatest threat isn't terrorism, but it's global warming. Well, that's a huge shift to have that being said. But we have to get on and do something about it now.
Yes, well, I agree. Now, if you go up there, the CIA have got a brief on every country. And if you go up on the CIA website and then have a look at world challenges, boy, they've looked at everything. They've looked at deforestation. They've looked at wetlands and fishing stocks and desertification. And every piece there, they say, under threat, under threat, under threat. It was astounding when I went and looked at the CIA website. Whoever was there doing the work, doing the research, they had a full understanding of the challenges of the human race. As if some special person in the CIA had realised, he said, well, okay, or she, let's take advantage of what the CIA have been able to observe over the last few years and make a statement according to what has been seen. And it's horrendous. But I take my hat off to the CIA, in this case, believe it or not, because they have done an expert job at calling one's attention to the environmental challenges that we've got. And so I do encourage listeners to not be fearful. Go up on the CIA site. And so for today, the people in America will see all these hits coming from New Zealand on the website to find out, you know, that we concur with what they say.
So, but what matters now is who is going to benefit from the way that these things are resolved. And it shouldn't just be to protect the lifestyle of the very wealthy on our planet. I mean, in a way, this is a challenge for us, isn't it? That we need to look at the impacts for lots of other people. And it's not just the CIA works to protect an American lifestyle.
That's right. Well, it's the global commons.
Absolutely.
We have to realise there that, of course, that originally when we all started off there, that the land was free, the water was free, and the air was free. And, of course, now we see that the land has got a cost, the water now has a cost, and everybody's thinking, well, we'll have to get out of the traffic jams in L.A. or downtown Mexico because the air now is at a premium.
We have to judge what we're doing. We have to get away from that just taking, making and wasting way of using resources and thinking about the environment to making sure that we're working with renewable energy, that we're cyclic in our use of resources so that we're dismantling and reusing wherever we can and mimicking the processes of nature. And make sure it's benign. In other words, that we're not adding harmful toxics to our environment as well in the process. Gosh, that's the shorthand, you know. This is really like a 40-page book here.
I understand. But I'm so glad you came in here because we just have to realise there that, you know, we get so distracted. The television comes on there and at present we're bombarded, we're desensitized, we're in a situation there that we buy this or think that, and we have to go and get this. And of course, all this packaging is left over from everything that we do purchase. So it's important for us to remain centered. And it's interesting to see the habit patterns of people listening to TV and radio, and particularly the commercial ones. And this is what I like about Planet FM 104.6, is that we want to actually talk about what's really important, because I see and hear through the media there that everything's virtually titillation now. It's all these makeovers. I've mentioned before that the picture's so big and so overwhelming there that the only power you've got is really is over your house and land. So let's make a makeover of your house so that it keeps everybody occupied and you can have a beautiful house made. And the same with body makeovers. You can be born, unfortunately, not as good looking as you'd like to be, and of course all of a sudden you've got a new face and thousands are watching you and they're selling product and everybody goes away comfortably numb, and here we all are.
Well, let's be optimistic. I like to look at a technology like GE, genetic engineering, that was new on the scene. As people started to understand more and more about it and could see no good benefit for it from people, and they made their opinions known and their voice known, and thousands ended up marching on streets around the country. We pulled together information to a food guide, and people have used that, and it is a powerful tool. And the retail outlets actually have ended up saying, we don't want to stock GE food. You know, we feel the public don't want it. Now, why should we be pushing it on them? For no good reason. So, that was a big victory. And 70% of New Zealand is saying we don't want GE. And I think that has had a huge impact. So that would be, like, my final message. Because we might feel like we're running out of time, but we have to say, for all these good things that we need to do, there is enough time if we start now. Right?
Yes.
So again, the message to people really is, okay, you might be, if you're listening to this program, you're probably a very aware person who's making lots of changes in your own life, and you know quite a lot about these things. So look at what else you can do if you link up with other people. So just get the maximum impact, because the more voices and the more people who raise their voices with the right kinds of questions and insist on the right sort of action, the better world for all of us.